cords to just... The more a man has, a lot of times we find the more a man has, the greater that man is. And I know you don't believe that here at Clear Branch, but that's the life that we live today. That's the world we're living in, is we measure success by what men have, what mankind has. There's the idea of man today that the greater his status, the greater he is. And if I really want to be something in this life, I've got to have the look. And everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say that. You've got to have the look. And if it's you in South Mississippi, that look might, you know, be a four-wheel drive. And it might be, you know, a big nice house and 40 acres of land and all this kind of stuff. If you were in a different part of the country, that look would be different. But it always comes back to what we have. Financial things, material possessions. And the greater that my status is, the greater possessions that I have, that means that that's the greater the man. I'm a great man because I have a lot. That is not biblical. And we need to squash that. And again, I know I'm preaching at Clear Branch, but from the youngest one here right on out to the oldest, we need to squash that attitude that if I have more than you, I am a greater man than you are, or I'm a greater woman than you are. The more, again, but that attitude is something that we face. If I can just get this stuff, I will finally be happy. Or if I work harder, I'll have more, and if I have more, I'll be happier. And it seems like the more that we get, and the more financially tied we get to everything, the more miserable people are becoming. And so tonight, just kind of look where you fall tonight, verse 24 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I want to start here because I want us to realize that material possession is not always bad. I think a lot of times we can get that in our mind. Look at verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Whenever a man is working and he gets to sit down and drink and eat and just look at what he's accomplished, there is a reward in that, and it is a gift from the very hand of God. You know, when I think about what God has blessed me with, and they might be, you know, some payments that come along with it at times. And yet, I said, God has blessed me. He's richly blessed me. And I'm thankful to have it, and sometimes not thankful like I should be. Again, whenever we go through this message tonight, if you can take and attach thankfulness to what God has given you, whether it be little or whether it be much, then we're on the right track. Because we need to stop and be thankful for what God has done for us. Look at verse 4 of chapter 4, Ecclesiastes 4 and chapter 4, verse 4. Again, I considered all travail and every right work that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. There's a lot of that going on in our day and time, ain't there? Everybody looking around and they envy what their neighbor has. You see the next big toy, the next big thing, and well, they have it, I want it. And he says here, this is Solomon. He's saying, again, I considered all travail and every right work that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is an handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Well, I tell you, the Lord knows how to get across the lesson, don't he? That it would be better to have just a little bit, to have one handful, and to be able to have quietness with it, than to have both your handfuls, and to have trouble, to have travail, to have worry, to have problems with it. And so again, the Lord is setting the stage for us. In verse, we'll turn over to chapter 5, verse 11. When goods increase, that word goods, material possessions, is what we're talking about. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. So here we're talking about goods, our needs, our food. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof? Saving the beholding of them with their eyes. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. So again, just good down-to-earth wisdom here that we are getting, that whenever our goods increase, our appetite increases too. And what are we really benefiting except to look at it and say, I've got this extra stuff. And so he goes on, he says, that sleep, the sleep of a labor man, is sweet. Whenever you labor and you work for your stuff, and then you appreciate what you have, you're able to lay down and sleep at night and enjoy it. But whenever we are laboring for more than that, when we're laboring just to be rich and have abundance so that we can say, aha, look at here what I have, he says, hard to sleep. Not going to suffer you to sleep at that point. Now imagine you cook a meal. One of you ladies, you cook a fine meal. And people come and they sit down to your meal. And the response that you get is, next time you ought to cook so and so. How'd that make you feel? I know how you ladies would feel about that. Look, I cooked this. I want you to say something good about what I've cooked. If there's a difference in response there, you know, you sit down and you cook this nice meal, people sit down to it and you watch them eat, and they eat seconds, and you look and you see they're so satisfied. And they let you know, I'm so thankful for this meal. You see that gratitude that's there. Same meal, same people eat, different reactions. And we understand which one will be good. The one that's content. The one that's thankful. Imagine being God and providing for His people the way He's provided for us. Imagine providing for a nation like He's provided for America. And let's don't get out in the world lest our mind go to all the mistakes what everybody else is doing. Let's just look at us. Imagine God seeing us, His children, and see how unsatisfied we are with what we have. Many times that's what He sees, even in His own people. He's seen that in me before, and I've had to repent of that. And even this day, I'm not saying I get 100. And yet, every day, I want to be more and more thankful for what God has blessed me with. If He's given me a little, I want to be thankful for it. If He's given me a lot, I want to be thankful for it. Because, my goodness, what do I really deserve in the first place? We are to enter the Lord's courts with thanksgiving. No matter what it is, every day, we are to enter His court. We are to be content with such things as He provides. And there's nothing better. Again, that's what the verse says, but there's nothing better than a man enjoy the goods of his labor. I believe a lot of times people are so, got their minds so set on next week, next year, when I get some bill paid off, whenever I finally get me a nest egg laid up, whenever things begin to work out over here, and we spend our life thinking about one day I'm going to be satisfied, one day I'll finally be happy, one day I'll finally be able to have some peace whenever. Look at what the Lord's done for us now. Just to be thankful today. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. Be thankful for what He's done for you today. You say, well, I've got a lot of stress right now. I've got a lot of things hanging over me. Well, stop and count your blessings just a minute. You know, the Bible says we can't do that, by the way. It says if we start trying, we're going to realize that numbers will fail us. We don't have enough numbers to number all that. And that's Psalms 42. He lets us know you just simply cannot count all the blessings God has blessed you with. But to stop and consider, I got up this morning. I was able to get out of bed. I was able to come to church tonight. All is well as far as I know. There's some problems. Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's always there. I tell you what, if I labor real hard now and I labor for the next year, you know what? In a year from now, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. If I make it 40 years, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I don't see where that lets up very much. And I've looked at some, here I am 41 years old. I've looked at some that may be twice my age. You think, well, by now you think they have everything lit and all their ducks in a row and they finally ever be happy. And I've seen some nearly twice my age and they still waiting on tomorrow. That way, things will finally ease up. I'll be able to take it easy. I'll be able to be happy. Do what you can do. I've heard this so many times. Do what you can do. Let your rough end dry. Do what you can do. The wisest man to ever live looked at all the things and all the ideas that men envy one another for, and he determined better is a handful with quietness. Better is a little with your debts paid. Better is a little without financial strain. Better is a little with quietness than both hands full and travail and vexation therewith. Now, you take a man, and let's just say a man, I'm going to just throw out some numbers. Take a man and he lives maybe on 40 grand a year. And that may be a little high. Maybe a little low for you. I don't know. Let's say he takes 40 grand a year. He gets accustomed to that pace. That's what he's used to living off of. And if he's not careful, for long, he'll just about max that out. He'll live from week to week. And he'll live with some stress and live with some anxiety. But you know, you can take a man that, let's say he makes 100 grand a year. And he gets accustomed to that pace, 100 grand a year. And it won't be long if he don't watch it now. He'll just about max that out. And he'll get to where he's going from week to week. And he'll have stress, anxiety. Lord says, go to work. Enjoy what you have. And then sleep good at night. I know that sounds simple, but it really is not, because there's a part of us that we've always got, I need a little more. I need a little more. And look, you looking at one, I've been guilty of it. Working for abundance, he said, want himself you to sleep at night. When you get in that mindset, where you just gotta have a little more. You won't even be able to sleep. Alright, look at Genesis chapter 41. We're gonna shift gears a little bit here. Genesis 41. I'm gonna tell off on myself just a little bit here. Well, let's go ahead and read first Genesis 41, verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that come up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. See? Joseph is explaining a dream to Pharaoh. Verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for the store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. I said I'm going to tell off on myself just a little bit. And I know you understand this story, so we're not going to dig in it in detail. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph come along, he said, this is the dream. There's going to be 7 good years, plenteous. We're going to just have abundant crops. And after that, 7 years of famine. And it's going to just, it's going to be terrible. And people are going to forget all about the good years because of the bad years that's going to follow. I was raised up to appreciate little. And I know everybody's not raised up the same, Brother Freddy. I realize that. Some people, you might, in my eyes, I might say they were raised up spoiled. Somebody might look at me and say, you're raised up like poor as dirt. And that's okay. I really, one's not better than the other as far as well, who did better. God blessed you. He blessed me. God gave me my parents. I wouldn't take any other parents. But I tell you, I was raised up to appreciate very, very little. And I noticed some things about me. You know, I can just sit outside and I can look up there at the clouds. And I can pick out all this different. I told y'all I like arts. It looks like pictures up there. And I can just sit out and I can be completely content to watch that. And somebody else, I'll try to get somebody, look at them clouds. It's just clouds. And I say, well, you just got a different mindset than I do. Nothing wrong with that. You got a different mindset than I do. All right, I can sit on the porch, drink coffee, and I can be just as content. Somebody else come along, they're not content to sit. You know, sitting might drive them crazy. I could sit there all day. Wouldn't bother me a bit. Somebody else could sit there 10 minutes and, look, I just can't sit here that long. I got to get up and do something. Again, that's just difference in the way we was raised and difference in attitude and difference in, you know, our character and things like that. I tell you what, I love how a hard day's work feels. You know, get out there and work and sweat. And at the end of the day, look at what I've accomplished. And I love that. I love how that feels. There's some that don't. I tell you what, I was not raised. I was not raised to appreciate plenty. Let me explain that. Since I was raised up poor, I was used to being poor. I was used to not having a lot. And so I could take a little and I could stretch it. And kind of enjoyed doing that. But then every now and then, Brother Joy, whenever I was poor, I might stumble into, I don't know, I might get a little bit of money there for a little while. And I was not taught how to appreciate that. Well, by the time I got it, I got to go find somewhere to spend this, buddy. I don't get to spend money like everybody else does, so boy, I got it now, I'm going to go spend it. And I wasn't taught to appreciate that. If you got it, spend it. When I had a little money, I was no longer satisfied. I was satisfied, just as content as I could be, with nothing
But you give me a little bit of something, and boy, all of a sudden I'm not satisfied anymore. That money's burning a hole in my pocket. I got to go somewhere with it. Some people have been taught all their life how to appreciate plenty. Now, they don't know what to do with nothing. It's just a difference in who we are. So, I wished I had been taught the value of saving. I wish somebody had taught me that. So what do you do? Well, I was just raised up that way. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Tell you what we can do about it. We can look at God's Word. God has a plan for everything. Everything. And I tell you what, if we're willing to humble ourselves and realize, you know what, I just don't know everything. And I might have been raised one way and somebody else raised another. God gave us the instruction book for life. And if we quit looking at what everybody else is doing, or what everybody's got, or what everybody don't have, and all that, and look back, what does God say about having anything? We'd be a lot better off. You see, I said I wish I had been taught the value of saving. Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know what that means? Right now, why everything's going pretty good for me and financially everything's clicking along pretty good and all that, you rest assured lean days will come. Famine or financial struggles come for the most part. I know some people have gotten, you know, maybe have gotten past that to where they don't have to look at it the same way anymore. God has blessed them to where that they're able to take care of things, to where maybe they can give more. And they become great givers in the Lord's work. I know that. And then others, they struggle along with one or the other or both. You know, some may struggle with having a little and some struggle having a lot. But we don't have to, because a person that is content with life that God gave them can be satisfied with a little, and they can be satisfied with a lot. And whenever they have a lot, they're able to put back a little bit for those lean times, knowing and understanding they come. They come. Now, if you've never done that, if you've never been taught that, if you have maybe you've stretched yourself out about as far as you can go already, it may take you a while to be able to get to a point where you can save for those lean times. But I tell you what, no matter where you are, if you'll look to the Lord will bless you. And if you understand, God gave you this life. And He gave you what you have. Sometimes we don't like to look at it like that, but He did. God gave us what we have. Labor and do what you can, and enjoy what you can while you can. Enjoy. Because I tell you what, if God is the one giving it to us, and He looks down at Brad O'Neill and He says, "See, Brad O'Neill is enjoying a fire of what I gave him." Don't you think that make him happy? You know what the will of God concerning you is? Be thankful. Be thankful. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the day that the Lord hath made. You should rejoice and be glad in it. You can truly be content. Let me get to a closing point here. 1 Timothy 6 verse 8 lets us know that we can be content having food and raiment. That don't seem like much. You know these people that have survived on as little as that? Just food and raiment. In fact, there's some places in this old world where they'd be happy to have
some food and some rain. Just to have a little food, right?
And I tell you what, you can bring some of them little fellas a bowl of rice, and they are as happy as they can be. I used to ride the bus with these little kids. I told you, I'm pretty poor. I probably exaggerated that some, and yet, by most people's standards, we were pretty poor. But there were some kids at the end of my road that got on the bus last, and they were the poorest people I ever seen when I was a kid. I mean, you go to their house, and they could take an empty paint can, and they'd play with it. We went by in November, talking about the water being cold for baptizing. We went by in November or December. It was winter time. It was a time when you're not supposed to be playing in water. And those kids were out in a mud hole in front of their house. And they had a deep mud hole. It was basically a little small pond when it rained. And they were up to their neck playing in that mud hole. And one day, I saw a church get together and they put some stuff together and they brought it to them kids. Stuff that other kids would turn their nose up at, and those kids had the time of their life. What a blessing it was just to have a little bit. They were happiest kids I ever seen. Didn't have much, but what they had was everything to them. I'll tell you what, it gets down to a matter of perspective, really. If I can look at what God gave me and I say, you know what, God gave me this, I'm going to be satisfied with it. And learn to. Paul said he had to learn. He had to learn to be abased and how to abound. He had to learn that. And so do we as God's children. We have to learn these things. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't learned that, and look, maybe you wasn't taught one way or the other, or either way, get in here and learn. The more you learn, the happier you'll be. That's for some.